Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Viyash Scientific Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Sequent Scientific Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Abhishek Singhal from Sequent Scientific Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pari. A very good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for Viyash Scientific Limited earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2027. Today, we have with us Dr. Hari Babu, Managing Director and Group CEO, Mr. Rajaram, Executive Director and CEO, Animal Health, and Mr. Ramakant, CFO of the company, to share the highlights of the business and financials of the quarter. I hope you've gone through our results release and the investor presentation, which have both been uploaded on our website as well as the stock exchange website. The transcript for this call will be available in a week's time on the company's website. Please note that today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in relation to the risks pertaining to our business. At the end of this call, in case you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the investor relation team. I now hand over the call to Dr. Hari Babu to make his opening remarks.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Viyash Scientific investor call for Q1 FY27. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. I'm happy to say that Q1 FY27 is again a very good quarter for us, and it shows that not a one-quarter story, but a company which delivers consistent results quarter after quarter. Our integration is now complete. This will be one of the few successful integrations you can find in the industry, and that too in record time period. Starting with the quarter performance, revenue from operations for Q1 FY27 was 946 crores, grown by 20% year-on-year. EBITDA was 205 crores, grown by 59% year-on-year. With EBITDA margin at 21.6%, expanding by almost 530 basis points over last year. Profit after tax was 79 crores, which has more than doubled year-on-year. Our EBITDA to PAT conversion is showing good improvement both year-on-year as well as quarter-on-quarter. Our balance sheet continues to show improvement. Net debt has come down to 86 crores, and net debt to EBITDA is now 0.1x versus 0.24x last quarter, and almost 1x a year back. In four quarters, we have gone from a leveraged combined entity to a company which is virtually debt-free on a net basis. This gives us tremendous opportunity with respect to brownfield expansion as well as exploring inorganic opportunities. Coming to segment performance, our Animal Health formulation business continues to grow very strong across all regions, and we believe the growth will continue with our continuous focus on new product launches, geo extension for our existing products to other countries, expanding R&D, and accelerating new product development. We continue to invest in expanding our manufacturing operations. We are also seeing strong growth in domestic market as well, up to 60%, and here we are looking to expand our field force and product portfolio further to grow aggressively. Coming to human formulation, our U.S. business has grown 60%, showing results of our efforts to moving towards backward integrated, more complex products. That is now translating into real growth along with profitability improvement. API revenue has been broadly flat quarter-on-quarter due to timing issues on account of raw material price volatility as customers were in wait and watch approach. As all you guys know, the war is continuing. Nobody knows when it's going to end. During the June, most of the customers wanted to wait and see how it's going to work out. Now we see good traction. A lot of orders are coming back, and I can see this quarter is going to the best quarter for API for us. Coming to where we are investing for growth. We have signed SPA for Bio4Life acquisition in Italy, and we are expecting to close acquisition in next few months based on fulfillment of certain conditions as per the agreement. This acquisition, as I mentioned on previous call, aligns with our focus on companion animal as number one strategic growth area for the next 5 years. Bio4Life gives us direct market access in Italy, one of the largest companion animal markets in Europe. It comes with a companion animal portfolio of about 85 products, which can be extended to other our core markets, and sales force with about 85% vet clinic coverage in Italy, plus strong local talent. Combined with our BI partnership in India, which is now scaling up, our own R&D and manufacturing investments in companion animals, this is a very meaningful step in building the entire companion animal platform across the world. On farm animals, we are focusing on filling the white spaces in our current portfolio, as well as expanding the market for existing products to other geographies. We want to focus on new product development and molecules which have potential across multiple geographies. For human formulations, as I mentioned earlier, we'll continue to focus on first-to-file opportunities with focus on more on high-potent complex formulations with fully backward integration support on key molecules. In API and CDMO, focus is on day one launch, complex molecules, expanding our CDMO business to create differentiation. We have strong relationship built with innovators across human as well as animal health, strong credentials in manufacturing, which helps us create a mutually beneficial partnership models on the CDMO side. So, to summarize, Q1 FY27 shows continuity, sustained double-digit revenue growth, EBITDA margins around 20-22% as indicated earlier, balance sheet now strongest ever in the history. With this platform and this balance sheet strength, we are very well positioned to keep investing both organic in R&D and manufacturing and selectively inorganic wherever we find the right asset while maintaining the discipline on margins. With that, I will now hand over to Ramakant, our CFO, to take you through the detailed financials. After that, we'll be happy to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I am pleased to present the financial performance of VR Scientific Limited for the first quarter of FY27. We have started FY27 on a strong note with continued momentum in revenue growth, significant improvement in profitability, and sustained expansion in margins. Our performance reflects the benefits of the initiatives undertaken over the past few quarters across businesses, along with continuous focus on operational efficiency and disciplined cost management. Revenue from operations stood at 946 crores, registering a strong 19.5% year-on-year growth and a 2.9% sequential growth. Gross margin improved to 54.1% compared with 51.9% in Q1 FY26, representing an improvement of approximately 220 basis points year-over-year. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 59.2% year-on-year to 205 crores, with EBITDA margin expanding to 21.6% compared to 16.2% in the corresponding quarter last year. Profit before tax increased by 132% year-on-year to 112 crores, compared with 48 crores in Q1 FY26. Profit after tax increased by 115% year-on-year to 79 crores, compared with 37 crores in Q1 FY26. Our finance costs declined to 12.5 crores from 20.4 crores in Q1 FY26, reflecting the benefits of our continuous focus on balance sheet strengthening and debt reduction. Pursuant to the composite scheme of amalgamation and upon receipt of necessary approvals during the quarter ended 30th June, company has granted 1.3 crores employee stock options representing 2.8% of post-amalgamation paid-up share capital of the company. This has resulted in an incremental expense of 19 crores for the quarter ended 30th June 2026. Profit before tax of 112 crores and profit after tax of 79 crores for the quarter ended 30th June 2026 are after considering the expenses on account of these additional employee stock options. We remain encouraged by the strong start to FY27 and continue to focus on disciplined execution and capital allocation to deliver sustainable and profitable growth. With that, I conclude my opening remarks. Thank you for your attention. I would now request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer session.
Are you good to take questions?
Okay. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the questions are assembled. The first question is from the line of Naman Bagrecha from IIFL Capital Services Limited. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Starting with the EU region, if you look in terms of the YY growth on constant currency basis, EU revenue has been largely flat. Anything to highlight over here, and what would be the outlook?
Raja, you want to explain? EU region actually Q1 showing 13% growth, but he is saying actually.
So in terms of the EU or constant currency, if you look, 16.8 million euro would be the sales figure versus 1QFY26, 16.9 million euros. So on a euro terms, EUR terms,
yeah, but actually, if you look at the fourth quarter tends to be a little bit more of a management of how the sales have gone, because on a full year basis, if you look at it, the growth will be closer to 20% for the EU region. So some of it is more a bit of phasing between one quarter and another quarter. But by and large, we are growing volume over there, and the volume growth at market plus the pricing growth should get us back to the levels at which we have typically been, which should be in the closer to the 18-20% growth. So this is more a question of how the quarter on quarter looks. But really the way to look at some of these businesses on a year-to-year basis, because, EU is a set of markets where one market may in one particular quarter show a little bit of a lower sale than the other quarter.
So is there any seasonality in terms of whether 1Q is lower versus, let's say, 4Q?
Generally, third quarter is better.
So we generally have a peaking around third quarter. It's also a question of some businesses are, which are tender linked, or some of them are linked to outbreak of, vaccination-related issues. So you could have a bit of a movement on that. But yes, you tend to have a higher sort of growth coming typically in quarter three, a little bit in quarter one, than in quarter four. But you're really talking of growth. So from a growth point of view, if you look at it quarter on quarter, it is more a question of phasing of what was last year, same quarter versus this quarter. But there's nothing which indicates that, this is anything which is disturbing. It's more like a steady volume plus pricing plus foreign exchange growth.
No. So I was comparing it on a YOY basis only, not just on the quarter basis. So YOY also it is flattish only in EUR terms.
YOY, you're saying on FI?
1Q FI26 versus 1Q FI27.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So on the quarter very specifically is more a function of the phasing of what kind of contracts may have been there in the respective two quarters. But the way to look at it is really on a full year basis, which is when you will have some movements between different quarters. And so EU continues for us to be a market which is, closer to an 18-20% kind of a growth.
So 18-20% kind of growth on a INR basis, right? Or,
yes. On an INR basis.
And also, as you know, few of the European countries, we started building last few years. But our major countries like Spain is doing extremely good. But few other countries like Bremer, Benelux, where we are building. Yeah. So that's taking some time, but we are very confident this year will grow much better.
Got it. And in terms of emerging markets has actually surprised positively in terms of growth. This quarter, we were looking at more of a mid-teens kind of a growth, but on a constant currency, let's say, if I go on a dollar terms, it has grown almost around 23%. Do you expect this momentum to continue, or what were the drivers of such a strong growth?
So emerging markets, mainly Turkey, Brazil, we have a very strong product pipeline, of course. So a few launches also happened last quarter. And both countries started growing volume. Because from last year, we are seeing the volume growth. Earlier, you know, Turkey used to be only pricing increase. But last few quarters, we see good potential to growing volume. So looking at the volume, looking at all our product launches, we are confident to approach to that. That's how we see. Both markets are doing extremely well. You know, these are the three countries, Turkey, Brazil, Mexico. So all are doing extremely good on this business.
Got it. If I may, there are a couple of questions. In terms of, let's say, the U.S. business also has seen a very strong growth, albeit on a lower base. Anything particular to highlight why was such a, almost around 45% YOY, 6% on a QOQ basis growth in dollar terms?
So as I mentioned earlier calls also, we've been trying to restructure a little bit last 2-3 years. So post-COVID, we struggled a little bit pricing issues since we had manufacturing in the U.S. That's how we started moving volume products to India. And also a couple of products we tried to fully vertical integrate. So those actions happened last year, a couple of products started shipping from India with our API. That's where the margin profile improved, and also we were able to maintain our market share. And last year, of course, we had one good launch. We were able to make good. Still, we are having 50-55% market share. So these are the few things. Changing the strategy, moving volume products to India, full integration with API, and adding few new products, and R&D also stepped up actually. Our R&D revenue also is slightly improved. So all these actions actually worked out very well this year, and it's going to work on that. But if you ask me, is it going to 60%? Answer is no. So, but it's pretty stable. We have very confident now actually to grow this business on that. Because all most of the products, whatever we develop or commercially launch, goes with fully integrated thing. And all volume products, we tied up with Indian manufacturers strategically. So we can see strong growth potential in this business as well.
Okay. So just to summarize in terms of whether my understanding is correct, so basically earlier the or let's say for few products, the API is now getting manufactured in India, which was not happening earlier, and hence we saw a margin increase in, let's say, FY26 versus FY25. If I look at APCO's income statement, EBITDA margins have sharply, improved from 1% to 34-35%. Do you expect this to continue, this kind of EBITDA margins for this for the U.S. business?
So we are expecting this will continue.
Okay. Also, if you could highlight in terms of how has been the animal API growth and the human API growth for the quarter?
So API, as you say, it's a flat because of few reasons. We don't see any business loss in this. So basically, last quarter, especially June, everybody expected war is going to end by June. In fact, it stopped in a few weeks, you know that. So when the raw material prices was high in last quarter, we also increased the price. So most of the guys, where they have inventory, they try to actually little bit postpone their procurements. So it happened 1 month, but when they realized after July, now it's not going to over, now we are getting back all product orders. And this quarter is going to be very good quarter for API. I can see, I think this quarter is going to be the best quarter in the history for us. We see a lot of traction, a lot of inquiries to get back those APIs. It's only timing issues that few weeks. Everybody wanted to take that advantage. Okay, if it's if raw material solvent price has come down, we may reduce that. But now it's stabilized. Everybody understood, realized. So now this quarter is going to be good. So it's the only timing issue, nothing wrong in the API business. And this quarter is going to be the best quarter for both animal health and human health. Of course, animal health, albendazole, we have been talking capacity expansion, a couple of approvals. Now we are expanded capacity. We got US approval also for Vizag site. We also expanded at Vizag site. Just started commercialization from July. And this quarter is going to be the best quarter for API.
Any color in terms of what would be the revenue run rate for the animal API business? If I remember, we had crossed the 100 crore mark.
I mentioned earlier we'll grow 20 plus, but we'll grow a little more than that.
Okay.
IBS we are growing, we'll grow more than 20%, I can say.
One for Ramakant sir. Sir, if you could highlight in terms of how should we look at ESOP costs going ahead, whether it should be like 5 crore the sequent ESOP plus now the VS employees getting that 19 crore kind of additional ESOP for this year on a quarterly basis, or it will increase from Q2 onwards.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, this 1.3 crore additional options were granted during the quarter. The charge for the quarter was about 19 crores. In total, ESOP cost for Q1 was about 25 crore. Q2, Q3 and Q4, the number in total would be about 40 crores. And from next year onwards, this will come down.
So next year it's going to be flat, small maybe after completing this 1.3 crores. You know that why it's happened. We had ESOP for scheme in VH. So when we merged part of amalgamation, of course it was clearly mentioned in the merger document also. Since actually it's allotted, it's delayed. So when the share price was high. So it was at 230 rupees. That's the reason it's showing more. But it's going to complete by mostly this year. And the next year, first quarter, something. But after that, it's a routine, very small. We don't see any big things or one-time things after that.
Next question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Singhvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations. Excellent set of numbers, sir. With respect to the kind of traction you're seeing on the API side, sir, is it possible that we will exceed the 20% growth for, say, maybe a couple of quarters now? Going ahead, and would that mean you would do higher on the whole year basis on your guidance?
API, I mentioned animal health. We are going to grow 25%, but overall I mentioned actually double digit, 13-14% this year. Okay, mostly next year it's going to increase. We have few launches, but this year we can expect double digit, maybe mid-teens or that level together, because other API business is bigger, much bigger than animal health, but we see good traction, but human health, most of the products, big launches is going to come in future. So this year we can expect that mid-teens, 13-15% kind of thing together.
Got it. Secondly, there is an investor day you had also alluded upon adding new tablet capacity for companion animal. and building some more R&D capabilities as well. How are those things tracking? I mean, progressing?
R&D already initiated last quarter. We hired people also, whatever approved, and equipment also we placed order. So coming to the manufacturing, we finalized the design. Mostly it's going to start next few weeks or next month, and the target to complete by January, February to be ready for taking exhibit batch. So we are on track on that. Mostly it will be done by January, February.
Got it. And just one clarification from Ramakant sir. I think what you said is the ESOP cost could be ranging in roughly 40 crores for the 9 months. Is that correct understanding?
Yeah. For FY27, the total would be about 150 crores. For FY28, okay, it will come down to around 25-30 crores.
So remaining three quarters, 40 crores each. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. I get it now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Managers Private Limited. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon and congratulations, Hari Babu, Rajaram Ji and Makan Ji, on excellent performance. Hello.
Yeah. Thank you, Bharat Ji. Please continue.
Yeah. Sir, I have two questions. One is particularly, you stated in your opening remark about, I mean, growing a business of high potent in human healthcare. Mm-hmm. So, if you can give a little more color, what kind of a current run rate is and how do we see, what is the capability that we have and capacity also we have built up, and how do we see that high potent, I understand it's a more complex and we'll have a better EBITDA margin also. So if you can give a little more color on that.
Sure. So, you know, iPotent is mostly oncology products.
Correct.
We started building that capability 2 years back API. So last 18-24 months, we built R&D potent lab. We built manufacturing, of course. We have three modules. And we started developing a lot of products last 2 years. That's an API thing, and started selling, and we partnered also with many customers in the form of partnership or CDMO or direct selling. That's one of the core business for future. And recently, last 12 months, we also initiated formulation development and partnering with that. So as I indicated earlier also, we are investing on formulation R&D iPotent lab. It's done now. It's going to be operational. In fact, last week we completed the iPotent formulation development lab. So we started actually all iPotent products formulation now. And also we tied up with one of the strategic manufacturers who is having oncology manufacturing site. So we aligned with R&D manufacturing, we started working with partners, but these things you have to keep in mind, it's a long term.
Correct.
All these products, high-potent products, unless you start developing minimum 5-7 years early patent expiry, we'll not able to get the business. So most of the revenues, whatever we developed, APIs and partners, it's going to start from 29. And the big products revenue with the formulation, it starts after 2030. So we geared up now. We have R&D, we have manufacturer, and also we have a couple of partners. But we are waiting for filing and patent expiry. Most important patent expiry. We filed at least 5-6 products APIs already. The first product we are expecting 29. If you get there, also there's opportunity for exclusivity that product. If you are lucky, correct, if you get exclusivity, that's a big thing. But majority revenues are going to be long-term after 30.
Okay. So how many products are we have in such pipeline, first to file also, which you said?
I think last time I indicated API multiple products, first to file and a few formulation, but I don't have the number, but at least 50% of our portfolio is either first to file or first to launch.
Okay. And one more question just only for Ramakant. So Ramakant, how do we see interest cost from here onward annualized? And second thing, I understand last time doctor mentioned that we see depreciation side?
Okay, I can explain you a little bit. I'm also learning little finance now. So the depreciation, the goodwill amortization, you must have seen every quarter 25 crores. So this year, first quarter 25 crores, next quarter is going to be 10 crores, so close to 10-11 crores. After that you can see that 25 crores is not going to reflect depreciation. So third quarter onward, next quarter I think you can see 15 crores benefit. Third quarter onwards, so the 25 crores is going to be bad conversion. And the interest rates today, we are working and optimizing a lot on those things. Of course, you can see our finance cost also is coming down continuously. We are trying to restructure where I interest cost. Last year, we did Sequent India debt, we restructured. Now, we are currently working with Ireland interest restructuring. So we are working various things on that to reduce interest burden as well as tax portion. I think you can see next year it's good. But if we are at par with any big companies in the interest, we are not paying too much on those things even today. But we are going to save more on that. Yeah.
Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one now. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor from NT Fragile Thinking. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Good afternoon, team. Just a couple of questions from my side. First is, as Viyash moves from integration now into much more complex phase of R&D, manufacturing, geographic expansion, and M&A, hopefully, what are the few non-negotiable principles that management uses to ensure that growth does not compromise execution, quality, and cash generation? Thank you.
If I have to put it to three things, one is compliance. No second thought and discussion whether it is regulatory compliance, finance, statutory, or quality compliance, or EHS. There is no second thought on that. The governance thing. And as you mentioned, we are actually going in multiple complex areas, but in fact, it's not always. Already we are in most of the things. And most of our team is very well experienced on those things. If you see complex products like Onco, we have been doing last 2-3 years and the entire team is very experienced. We know the market, we know the products. So that's not the thing. Then the second thing, if you see that combined company, overlap is very limited to the API. And the formulation is still animal health and human health is going to run parallelly. So these are the 2-3 things. Compliance we never compromise, governance we never compromise. Of course, the financial discipline also is most important. After seeing that Sequent story 4-5 years back, we know what we can do. And we can see a lot of opportunities keep on coming on M&As, but we always look at only whatever is going to fit into our strategic direction defined even our analyst day. Whether companion animal or CDMO or actually complex areas, we are going to stick with that. It's not just go and acquire, since our balance sheet is strong, go and acquire to add numbers. That's not the plan. It's only whatever is going to fit into our strategic direction, it's going to be that, whether it is inorganic or organic expansions. Hope I think I clarified your question.
Yes, yes. No, that explains. M&A is one of the key areas, obviously, because if you see the history of Sequent, the earlier management used to pay single-digit EV EBITDA for most of the acquisitions. But again, it depends on the quality and the strategic fix. So valuation alone can never be the criteria, but you answered all my questions, Dr. Haribabu. Thank you. My second question is, given the long gestation periods and uncertainty in pharma, uncertainty in terms of where the downside from major capital allocation decisions can take years to emerge. because the game is, the clock speed is such that it's a long cycle game. So capital allocation today may not deliver the desired outcome, or may not even signal, you know, green or red for many years. What do you, in that context, what do you consider an appropriate level of personal economic exposure for those making such decisions? And does the current ownership, senior management, I know Carlyle has got significant ownership, how do you reflect that principle within the organization, not just at the senior management level, but also at the middle management level? Because whatever, as a team, the decision is being made at the management level, then presented to the board, the downside, if any, may not emerge immediately. That's the kind of question I have. Thank you.
So, long question. Thank you for that. First thing is, this company, whatever decision we take, decision to consider the long-term growth for the company, not based on the investor, whether the management or Carlyle or XYZ. Whatever we have been doing last 2 years investment, we never compromised on the short-term and long-term benefits for the company. So when you say the long gestation period, capital thing, when you are doing for new company, new setup, for example, if I am doing only Ipotent separately as a separate vertical, okay, that investment is huge. There is a lot of risk involved in that because of gestation period is high. But in our case, if you see, today business is 90% is a matured business where we don't need to do too much capital allocation. And whatever we are doing, actually, if you look at existing business versus what capex we are going to put, it's not substantial. That it's existing business is able to take care of all these things. So because of that, we have large portfolio and we have multiple geographies, multiple businesses where there's no dependency on either one country or one product or few products. That's where risk is already mitigated, and our new capital allocation is not that much compared to our existing business. That's where I don't see much risk. Whatever you are putting the capex, whatever we indicated, I think 250-300 crores for a year, that's not the big looking at the company's size and business. So that's where I don't see any risk on that. One is investor perspective or the company perspective. I don't see any risk on that perspective. Looking at the size, our investments,
thank you.
See that. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Hari Babu. That the clarity of thought is amazing and really appreciated. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Greek Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the excellent set of numbers. Sir, one question is on the minority interest. Last year we had a 18% minority share pre-minority profit, right? How should one look at minority interest going forward?
So we are evaluating
on 270.
No, we are evaluating continuously that, you know, we have minority share in two geographies. One is US and the Spain. So we, since you know that last part, we were busy a few quarters with integration. We were busy a few quarters actually to finish our roadmap for strategic direction. Now we have clarity what we are going to do. So we are evaluating continuously whether to, we can buy back, that's not an issue today. But still we are exploring whether to buy back today or actually when there is an opportunity to invest M&A to do that now, we are exploring. But next 1-2 years it's going to be acquired 100%, that's what next 1-2 years. We never know, it may happen soon or, but outer limit I can say 2 years, so we are going to do that. So meanwhile, we are looking at various opportunities like Bio4 recently. We're also exploring if something comes up to accelerate our strategic growth areas. So we are exploring those things. Maybe we'll come back soon on those things.
But annually, how much outlay we should expect for this year or next in terms of pre-minority charge profits? So last year it was around 18%.
So how much, I don't know.
So minority interest, if you look at for the quarter, is around 17%, and last year full year was about 20%. You can assume that it will be in the same range, around 16-17% of the total profit.
16-17% for the Got it. And the capex you mentioned about 250-300 crore for the year, right? That should be the number you should work with.
Okay. Capex at minority thing?
No. The total capex is what?
No. Capex overall. No. Total investment on the gross block. You mentioned around 250-300 crore for the year. That should be.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, if I have to look at the business, the API portion basically. What will be the split between human API and the animal API within that? And formulation also, if you can provide how much is human and how much is animal API.
No, you can see the formulation, whatever we reported, even the 10-list tag. Europe, emerging markets, India together are the animal health. Only US is a human health, what we reported, 126 crores out of 383, out of actually 554, 126 crores for human health formulation.
Okay.
And API, we're at this point actually 100 crores run rate at animal health, but it's going to grow now. So today bigger portion is human, but animal health is growing very fast this year.
Got it. And within the animal, human API, do you see the growth rate to increase? You mentioned some impact likely to, positive impact likely to be happening Q2, but do you see stronger growth over there versus overall business?
So human health, as I mentioned earlier also, since we moved to more complex areas where products are coming out of patent little later, okay, but major growth is going to come from 28-29 onwards, but till that time we are anticipating 13-14% growth. Okay, sometimes if you are lucky to get one or two products, you know, when you are targeting for day one launch, it's ended up actually one player or 10 players. If you are lucky, one player actually it's a bigger. But looking at my experience, we expect next 2 years 13-14%. But later 29, since these most of the complex products, more than 50% are first to launch kind of things, we'll have bigger advantage on that. Animal health, since it was not...
So the 13-14% growth you are talking about, the overall consolidated revenue or just human API?
Yeah, API. Human actually, it's the overall, it can, you can take to 13, 15, whatever it is. Animal health, it's going to be 20 plus, but since its contribution is small, actually average you can take 13-15% kind of thing. As I said, since most of the products are 80% portfolio, we develop the new products, which are coming out patent later. We don't do mature, too many mature products, commodity products. That's not our thing. So we stop developing volume mature products. We are more trying to do differentiated products where we can have good margins on that perspective.
Right. And animal health formulation, how should one look at overall piece growing?
It's good, but we... mentioned to you $1 billion in 2032 altogether, it's going to happen.
Got it. All the best, sir, and thank you for answering the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubham Agrawal from Burman Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Yes. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just had one question on Europe. We talked about 18-20% growth this year. Is that including the benefits of the new acquisition, the Bio4Life, or will those be over and above this 18-20% growth?
No,
this does not include anything of the acquisition. The acquisition is not yet closed. We expect it to complete
FY21 growth plans.
Yeah, it will, the thing. In FY27, I think a general sort of growth of, you know, volume plus price, even leaving out the Forex, should take us into double digits. And then we'll see what comes out of the Forex.
Understood, understood. And sir, one more question. The emerging markets business this quarter grew by 36%. Is it like possible for you to break out this between, you know, what was the volume growth and then the pricing growth, and then there is some benefit from, you know, currency, favorable currency, if you can break that out?
So we say good volume growth last quarter. Emerging markets volume is grown by 25%. So majority growth came from volume. Okay, of course, there's one or two new launches, but don't expect a volume is going to grow every quarter 25, but we can see the good volume growth in these countries' markets.
Understood. Thank you, sir, for answering my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Shukla from FinInvestor. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Gaurav, we can't hear you. Can you speak loudly?
Can we take the next question in the meantime?
May I answer, sir? May I
answer? Still, it's not clear.
Take next right now.
The next question is from the line of Kumar Saurabh from Scientific Investing. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah. Congrats on great set of numbers, sir. My question is regarding human API. You said we have almost 50% of first to file opportunity. If I'm not wrong, some of those APIs are Mavacamten, Neratinib. The brand TAM is around 2 billion, if I'm not wrong. So if you can highlight what is the target opportunity for us, sir, in terms of opportunity size for this first to file, and what kind of market share we plan to take in initial years?
Now, when you compare brand for API, that may mislead you, okay? If I put it all our products or development pipeline, today brand is more than 20 billion kind of thing. But API, always you have to discount depending on the API, how much actually it's going to price erode when it comes to generic launch. General APIs are going to price erode by 95%. When it comes to oncology or these hypotent, we can expect at least 50-60% price erosion. And API contribution is around 20% of the formulation thing. So all these things, we always, every product, whatever we try to do, we want to do as much as possible. Majority market share, at least 25-30%. But average, we are expecting 10-15% market share. And one product actually can do bigger, other product maybe actually depending on the competition. We can expect, we target always 10-15% market share. But it's very difficult to see based on the 2 billion actually brand today, then formulation price erosion, then API contribution, then 50-60% erosion, that we need to do product-wise. But we see, our target is actually try to do day one, where we take reasonable market share, and most important is sustainability. So if we enter day one, the chances of sustainability is high compared to coming as an alternate API supplier.
Got it, sir. And sir, my second and last question is, so as you said, next 2 years, we should expect around 15-17% kind of growth, and then some of the first to file launches will happen. So is it like we will have a better runway of growth from 2029 given our 2032 aspiration? And this 2032 aspiration, is it something which we are fairly confident of, or this is something which is highly aspirational, or we feel this is the bare minimum we will do given, you know, things, you know, will go on a better track from 2029? It better means, you know, some of these molecules going live.
So I will not go either way, either too ambitious or too conservative, but we see the realistic, if you calculate from FY 27 numbers, 1 billion is actually working out to 18% CAGR. And we feel that's very comfortable, practical aspiration. So, and we have clear plans on that, both organic and inorganic. There are two things if I club. One is 18%. Second thing is looking at our balance sheet, we have flexibility to do some M&As, not just for sake of doing the M&As. Doing these together, I am personally very confident to achieve that. Okay, but if not more, but definitely that.
We are very wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Great, sir. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul from 40 Cents. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank
sir,
you.
My first question is regarding the acquisition in ATB. So once the acquisition is complete and we are able to leverage the capabilities in other parts of Europe, how much would it add to the top line in the next 1 year and in the next 2 years?
So it takes normally 2 years. How the process it works, you know, once we complete acquisition, mostly it will be done in next 2 months to 3 months. Once you start that, you have to start registering that product into other countries. So our first phase of doing that is wherever we have front-end presence like Spain or Turkey or Brazil, whatever is accessible and have market, we are going to do that. So all these process normally takes 24 months odd. Okay, if you are lucky, a few things can happen early, but the minimum expectation is 18-24 months. We can see bigger revenue coming from after 24 hours. So there's a two-way strategy. One is expanding those products into other region wherever it's possible. And we are doing a lot of new products we started. Like we said, actually R&D is ramped up. Now it started developing companion animal products. We are getting ready our manufacturing plant by January. So we are preparing all bigger launches with full integration from 29 onward. These are the products mostly. One or two products are coming 27. That also we are targeting launch that one. So that's a two way. It takes two, three years practically. So you don't expect actually jump from next year. Whatever it is, a natural growth from Italy, that's going to grow double digits. But bigger growth is going to happen after 2 years by the time we complete all registrations and prepare for marketing.
So, sir, after 2 to 3 years, what kind of top line will it contribute to?
All put together, we mentioned 150 to 200 million companion animal by 32. So, we didn't work out this particular thing because one is that this is going to use as a launch pad for Europe. You know, Europe, actually, how it's going to work. When you develop and file the product, you have to start filing one product. And that country, when the regulator is reviewing, it's extend to other markets. So this is going to be the bigger portion, not only Bio 4 products. The intent of acquisition is not only promoting those products. It's using as a launch pad for all those things. I may not be able to give you that separately those Bio 4 products, but we are going to grow bigger actually. Maybe you can expect actually definitely 25-30% growth after 28-29. Of course, today also we are growing bigger than that, but the base is small. So we see good potential there.
Sir, this is very helpful. Sir, how much does the API contribute to our top line overall?
Overall, API contributes, if I put this quarter,
83 crores is what you
put. It's all maybe put together 40% yearly, maybe 40-45%. Around 40% you can expect.
Around 40% is current contribution of API to our top line.
Yes, yes. Whatever we assume this year, close to 4,000, is that you can expect 40% dot. In between 40 to 40.
Right, sir. And sir, this API, it is partly animal health and partly human.
Yes, yes, yes. Majority human at this point, but animal we are growing. So today it's maybe 2/3 human, 1/3 animal. Animal is growing to grow faster now.
And whatever products we have for animal health is only 100% API, or is there anything else as well?
Animal health, you have bigger formulation, right?
Okay.
I'm not getting your answer. Oh. Animal health, if you see, our bigger portion is the formulation. And we
okay,
are expanding
sir.
API now. We have API, but the bigger thing is formulation.
Thank
no,
you.
Is that question or something? I don't know. Okay. Okay.
The next question is from the line from Kiran from Table Tree. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions. The first question is our acquisition buyer for life. So last time Sequent acquired Alvira, we had, apart from the purchase price, obviously we had a lot of issues, structural changes, local market stresses, restructuring, insurance payout. There were too many issues. And that's an experience that India Inc., right, not just Pharma or Viyash in particular, but everybody who acquires Europe has an issue, right? The purchase price looks too cheap, but eventually the costs are too high to pay eventually, right, in the life cycle of the business. So in general, what are the guardrails you've had to purchase Bio for Life? Because our past experience, both in Sequent via Alvira acquisition and the India Inc. experience for acquiring Europe has been terrible.
Yeah, you're right, 5-10 years back. So all of we experienced from that, right? Even from my side also, we have seen one acquisition. So those days, always Indian companies, we want to acquire cheaper and try to manage like India. It never works out. Now all we experienced on that, what is the complication of it works actually. You can't actually Indianize Europe operations. So when you are working in Europe, you have to understand that Europe business, right, and do it that way. So earlier, 5-10 years back, when everybody acquired, we thought products can move to India, and it never happens. So we are very clear strategy on that. Of course, it's a small thing. Most important, it's utilize our launch pad, and we know. So, and also there's no manufacturing, it's mostly brands there. We have clear idea with earlier experience. We have taken care of everything. We don't see any issue on that. But now, you can see last, I don't know, whether you have reviewed last few years, Indian companies operating in Europe are doing pretty well. So it's not only us, but we know fully on that sensitivity.
Got it. Got it. Very heartening to hear, sir. Sir, second question. Sir, rate of growth will increase because of patent cliff both on the animal side and the pharma side. And animal side, patent cliff is happening 28-29 and pharma side is 29-30. Is that the right way to think about why the growth will accelerate beyond this year?
So, talking API, most of the human API we have our portfolio under development, it's up to 2040. Most of the products are coming to after 2030. Animal health API, since there was some lag, we have taken product quick development up to 2035. Majority of the products in animal health, the bigger products are coming out patent from 27 to 33. After 33, mostly biological is going on. So we are attacking both actually animal health as quickly as possible, and most important, try to vertical integrate also formulation in that. But any product API, whether it is human or animal health, once you start developing the product, it's a minimum gestational period is 3 to 5 years. So this company is a new company. We started 2 years. We can expect the gestation period 3 to 5 years minimum kind of thing. So that's how I always say the majority revenue is going to come from 29. It's we can develop and manufacture, that's not an issue. But the registration, tying up with somebody, all it, and more than that patent expiry, these things will take its own time. It takes minimum 5 years kind of thing. That's where we see from 29 onwards. Real new product revenue is going to come for us.
Got it. Got it. Very helpful, sir. Thank you so much. Congrats.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question from the participants. Now I would like to hand over the conference to management for their closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for your continuous support. I can tell we are in a good position. So our team is committed. We are going to do good. That's what I can tell you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Sequent Scientific Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.